continuing our series on medical halacha. And last week we discussed the idea of davening, how perhaps more important than medical and medicine and science is davening to Hashem. Hashem is the rofa, he is the doctor. You have to have a combination between the two of going to doctors and medicine and science, along with, of course, putting this shtadlus into davening. So that being said, I wanted to discuss today a shaila that came up a couple times, actually, the past few weeks. When I initially announced I'd be giving this series this man on medical halacha and ethics, so I received an email from a young woman who listens to some of the shiurim, and her name is Aliza Hirsch. She actually lives in the Five Towns in Woodmere, and she asked me to address the following shaila, which I thought was very relevant. She herself is a nurse, and she davens on behalf of her patients, and she always wanted to know what the halacha is if her patient is a non-Jew. Are you allowed to daven for a non-Jew? And that's a very powerful question on so many levels. The fact that a nurse, a doctor wants to daven for the patients is a wonderful thing. That's a great segue from last week to discussing of the individual who's ill, the patient davening, but even the nurse, even the doctors, even the caretakers davening for the patient is also an incredible thing. That, yes, they put all the time into going to nursing school and medical school and knowing what to do, but even they realize, of course, that you have to incorporate tefillah along with the process. So let's talk about this question of davening for a non-Jew, and it could not only be a patient, but could be a friend. Last week, someone in the shul asked me, are you allowed to daven for a co-worker? His co-worker came down with something and wanted to know whether he could daven for his non-Jewish co-worker. Is that okay? Is that acceptable? So what does Halach have to say about this question of davening for a non-Jew? So I want to backtrack. I want to use Parshas Noach just as a springboard for this topic. I know we're not anywhere near Parshas Noach. We're very far away from Parshas Noach. But it is interesting because a lot of the halachas that relate to Bnei Noach and non-Jews does come out from interesting discussions within Parshas Noach. So look at the question that Or HaChaim asks. Or HaChaim asks the following question. He wants to know, Yesh Lasesh Lev. Let's pay attention. Let's put our mind to the following question. Madua helim ayin me'asot tzedakah. Why did Noach, turn away, close his eyes from performing some type of tzedakah b'bnei dorah? Levakesh rachamim alem miflei Hashem. We don't find anywhere that Noach davened for his door. Why didn't he daven that his generation become better people? We know the famous story of Beria and Rebbe Meir, and there were certain Risham in Rebbe Meir's neighborhood that were causing him in tsar. Rebbe Meir davened that they should die. And Beria said, why would you daven that they die? You should daven that they should do tshuva. That's why you should daven for it. But it doesn't say chotim, it says chatam. You want to get rid of the, not the sinners, but get rid of the sins. So daven for them that they become better people. So why didn't Noach daven for his generation that they do tshuva? Nowhere in the Pesukim does it indicate he davened. Why not? Why didn't Noach daven? So Chaim writes, reading just the bold here, he says at the beginning of that paragraph where it says, Achein midivrei Hashem asher diber l'Noach. It's clear from the words that Hashem spoke to Noach, Gila daita, l'Noach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed his intention to Noach. Ki adavar muchlat be'enei Hashem, it was already decided in the eyes of Hashem, lehashchus, to destroy the entire world, to bring about a mabul. That was already decided. There is no changing that gzeira. V'lo nasan makom l'noach l'spalo. There is no room. He did not allow any room, any space for Noach to daven. Komro, keitz, kobasa, v'gomer. This is the end of mankind. V'hineni mashchitzam behechli. I'm going to decisively destroy them through our mabul. Ma makom lo l'spalo. What room is there to daven? And he goes on to contrast this with Avraham Avinu, who davened on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Even though he wasn't given the tefillah, it wasn't answered, there was room to daven. There was a Pesach. But by Dor Mabul, there was no Pesach. It was decided. The Gzar Din was already established. And for that reason, Noach had no way to daven. Davening wouldn't have worked. It was already decided. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Noach. So I want to take a different route and explain what happened with Noach. Well, let's first discuss the sugya in general about davening for non-Jew. So it begins in the Gemara of Odazar. We're first going to talk about providing refuah, providing health care medicine to a non-Jew. Is that allowed? And then we're going to extend that to davening on behalf of a non-Jew. So the Gemara of the Zohar, Daf Chav Vav Amin Aleph, and continuing on to Chav Vav Amin Beis, tells us, Ha'ovde kochavim v'roi bakar, when it comes to non-Jews and cattle farmers, we can ignore the roi bakar right now, the din is lo malin v'lo moridin. That means, if a Ovid kochavim fell into a pit, we wouldn't be malin, we wouldn't take them out, we wouldn't save them, v'lo moridin, but we wouldn't throw them down either. We wouldn't kill them, but we wouldn't help them. We wouldn't support them. The Brisa says further, Tanya Rabbanan, Yisrael mal es ha'oved kochavim l'shem ger, that a Yid is allowed to perform milah for a goy if he plans to be a ger, as part of the gerus process. That's when it's allowed. When could a Yisrael not perform bris milah for a goy? Lafuke l'shem morana delo. If it's for the purpose of morana, what's morana? So Rashi there explained, if there's a certain to'elis, that there's a benefit, there's certain health benefits of having a mila. So if the guy wanted a circumcision, not for geirus, because for health reasons, so then that's aser. If you look at Rashi, to'elis sheyesh lo bar laso, de lo, de aser, they're fosa. You can't heal. You can't provide medicine to a guy, bechinam, for no reason. For free, you can't do it. De ha'amran, lo ma'alin, lo meridim. We said we don't take them up from the pit. We don't put them down. So we can't give them any support. If they're stuck in a pit, we won't help them. So certainly you couldn't perform refuah. And since circumcision has health benefits, you cannot perform a bris milah for non-Jew. So Rashi says, bechinam. You can't do this for free. The implication is, if it's for money, you're being paid as a job, so then you would be allowed to take payment for this. So Tosos makes this comment. Tosos says, if you look at number three, he quotes Perisha Kuntris Rashi, the Aser Lirafos Bichinam, you can't give health care for free, of Al Beschar Shari. But if it's for payment, if you're going to get a salary, get an income, then a fee, then you'd be allowed to Mishim Eva. We'll leave that Eva part just for a moment. And he brings a proof from a Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin, Tosa says. And the Gemara there says that Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, there was a certain guy who had some illness, and he healed him. Why was he allowed to? So tell us to say, it must be that he received schar. For payment, you're allowed to be merape a goy. But if it's not for schar, so then you're not allowed to. Tosfos gives a second reason why you're allowed to, and this, by the way, is what many the Maalim in Eretz Yisrael do and they rely on. He writes at the end here in Tosfos, Bechinam Havi, maybe really Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, he performed the medicine, he perform the health care for free, but lischachem birefuos yachol yos motor. But if you're doing it to test out, to explore, to experiment, to learn, to educate yourself, then you're allowed to, because the purpose isn't to save the Ovid Kochavim, the purpose is for yourself to learn. So you can use them to learn. So a lot of the Moalim, what they do in Eretz Yisrael, they practice on the Yishma'elim, they practice on the Arabs, the circumcision, not to give them circumcision to provide them health benefits, rather in order for themselves to experiment, to learn the trade, and then they could go ahead and be prepared to do it to a Yiddish, to a Yid, in order to perform the milah. But Tosfos writes here that there are two heterim that one's allowed to perform medicine refuah for a goy. Either if it's for money, or it's to learn from, to educate, to get experience. Those are the two different heterim. Now the Torah asks the following question. The Torah says, there's another Gemara that clearly says that you're not allowed to perform any medicine for a goy unless it's an eva, unless it's animosity. In other words, if he knows that you're a doctor and you refuse to perform the surgery, you refuse to give him the medicine, that will create animosity, that will create eva, so that would be usher. So is it because you're going to get money you're allowed to be as a doctor, or because it's going to create animosity? And what Torah concludes and Shocharach concludes, you need two elements in order to perform properly to provide refuah to a goy. It has to be both for schar, you have to make money off of it, and it also has to be because of eva. It's going to be animosity. But let's say there would not be any animosity, even though you would get paid for it, that's not a heter. It has to be a combination of schar and eva. And look at that very clearly in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, number 4, in Yeridaya, Ein lirafoso afilu beschar. You can't perform medicine. You can't give any health to a guy, even if it's for money. Imelo hecha deika mishim eva. Unless there's also an element of eva as well. So the combination of eva plus schar is what's going to allow a Jewish doctor to perform refuah for a guy. So now this whole discussion, by the way, is really referring to, and this is what the poskim say, this whole discussion up until now is referring to a person, a guy, who's oved avodah zara, who's an idol worshiper, who worships idols, multiple gods. That's what we refer to where it's usher to save an oved avodah zara. But when it comes to a stam ben noach, a guy who follows monotheism, that's acceptable. You're allowed to provide refuah for such a guy. This whole discussion is only about a guy that's oved avodah zara. So now we have to get into a discussion, well, what type of guy worships avodah zara? What type of categories are different religions? So very interestingly, that there's a discussion that's found in the Sefer Dina Dechaya. Dina Dechaya comments on why was the Rambam able to be a doctor? Who was he a doctor for? He was a doctor for the Ishmaelim, for the Muslims who lived in Cairo. So why was that allowed? Doesn't the Gemara tell us that you're not allowed to give refuah to a goy? We don't save them from the boar. We don't provide refuah to them. So how could the Rambam dedicate his life to being a doctor for the Ishmaelim? So what he answers is that because since the Ishmaelim are not of the Avodah Zarah, right? They also believe in monotheism. They believe in only one God. It's obviously a very different religion with all different sets of rules than we have, but it's not Avodah Zarah. And if it's not Avodah Zarah, it's completely allowed. And that's why the Rambam was allowed to be such a doctor. So now we have to get into the conversation, how do you define Christianity? Is Christianity Avodah Zarah? There's such a thing called Trinity. I don't know enough about it, about the Christianity, but there's a discussion as well. So there's some opinions that think Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Tosos thinks it's not Avodah Zarah. So part of a larger discussion, not our focus right now, whether Christians are Avodah Zarah or not, but the Chavad Das concludes that the Christians are not considered Avodah Zarah either, and therefore the din is, you're allowed to bring healthcare, refuah, medicine to non-Jews. Unless you know they're Mamash Avodah Zarah, they're into Buddhism or whatever else out there, outside of those religions, we assume if it's a Christian, if it's a Muslim, you're allowed to provide refuah, and therefore it's all okay. That's the psak in terms of providing refuah. Now, I think based on this, we could go back and answer another question. We start off just with a springboard, with the story of Noach. Why didn't Noach daven for his generation? Why did he not daven for Dor HaMabul? And I think the answer could be is because one of the several averos that Dor HaMabul was involved in was Avodah Zarah. They're involved in Shvichas Damim, they're involved in Avodah Zarah, and since they're over to Avodah Zarah, that's another reason why Noach couldn't daven for them, because we just learned here that if you can't provide refuah, certainly you can't daven for them either. Yechaved Das writes, Yechaved Das was asked the following question. He wanted to know there was a ger. A ger had, he converted, his parents weren't Jewish. And the question that was posed, are they allowed to daven for his parents who are not Jewish? So he goes to the Yechaved Das goes through the whole discussion, how you're allowed to provide refuah for non-Jews, and certainly for one's own parent, even though they're Jewish now and the parents are not, but al tzakar zadov and kibrav aim, you're allowed to provide refuah, and certainly allowed to daven for them as well. So you're allowed to daven for non-Jews, but only a non-Jew who's not over the avodah zarah. But if it's a non-Jew, if it's Dor HaMabul, who were, mamish entrenched in avodah zarah, so that those such people you couldn't daven for. So this is the second reason why that Noach didn't daven, either because it was already decided from above that Kadosh Baruch Hu was not allowing any tefillah, like the Or HaChaim, or because they are over the Avodah Zarah, and you cannot daven for over the Avodah Zarah. But in terms of a non-Jew, who's a patient, who's a co-worker, who's a neighbor, who's ill, and is not an over the Avodah Zarah, and even those who are part of certain religions that are of the Avodah Zarah, we oftentimes assume they're not really idol worshippers. They're just following the Minhag Avosenu. They're just following their fathers and grandfathers, their religion, but they're not really believing in idols so much. So nowadays, we assume most non-Jews are not over the Avodah Zarah, and for that reason, it's completely allowed to daven. Now, take it one step further. The Truas Chaim Biyad, Simen Lamed Gimel, says, not only is it Mutar Lagamre, but he quotes from a Sefer Rov Dagan that you're allowed to because of Eva, you're allowed to because of Kiddush Hashem, but more so, he says, maybe this guy, if he sees you davening for them, and maybe he's going to come around and become a Ger Tzedek. He's going to come around and become a convert. And that's a wonderful thing. We find in the Nevi'im that Elisha Navi, he was Merapa Naaman Mitzaraso. Naaman had Tzaras, and Elisha healed him from the Tzaras, and turns out Naaman ended up doing, he went through Geris, he became a Ger. So who knows, if you're going to daven for a non-Jew and bring their health, maybe they're convert. And the Gemara says that the only reason why we come to Gullus, the Gemara says, is to try to bring in Gairim. We need to bring Gairim in. That's the whole point of Gullus, or one of the main points of Gullus. So davening for their health, davening for them to convert, to see the true light, that's actually a wonderful thing. Now, even though in general, when someone wants to convert, we try to discourage them. We say, you know, it's not so great being a Jew. There are all these challenges, all these rules, all these restrictions. We just want to make sure that they're coming for the right reasons. But the Emes, we want more neshamas to come in as Gairim. That's what Gemara says is the point of Gullus, to try to collect these neshamas that are lost amongst the Goyim. So therefore, the poskim say you are allowed to, certainly if you have a relationship with them, certainly if you know them well, certainly if they're one's own parents, a patient, a co-worker, a friend, those are all heterim for davening for non-Jews. So that's the heter. Now, there's an interesting thing I saw just last week in Parshas Yisro, he asked the question, why was it that Yisro was Zocha to have a Parsha named after him? And the Gemara says, because since he was Zocha, he was called the name Yisro, because there was a Parsha, a Yeser Parsha, an extra Parsha written in his name. So Pinchas Karach asks the question, well, there's also Balak, that was named after a person, and there was Karach, and he says all of Shlach was written because of Meraglim. So there are many Parshas that came about because of certain individuals, certain actions. So why Dafka Yisro, he was Yoser, he got an extra Parsha because of him. Many people got extra Parshas. So Pinchas Karach says, because the whole point of Gullus, again, the whole point is strong, but one of the main points of Gullus is try to collect the different Gerim. Yisro was the only Ger Tzedek we had throughout all of Chumash. So he was one of the goals were trying to collect such a neshama like Yisro, and therefore he was Zocha, that we have a Parsha named after Yisro, named after him, an extra Parsha. Now, in Echnami, there are other Parshas as well, named after Balak and Korach and so on, but that was for bad reasons. But Yisro Zocha as an extra Parsha in his Zuchus, because since he became a Ger, and that's a wonderful thing, it's an incredible thing, for that reason we were Zocha to have a Parsha named after him. But the point here being is that one should daven for a guy, and should daven that they should become a Ger, and that's the idea of davening for non-Jewish patients. I want to now transition to another topic related to this as well. We spoke about the first half, or more than the first half, about davening for non-Jew. But what about giving a bracha to a non-Jew? Is that allowed? Can you give a blessing to a non-Jew? So I think I may have shared this once with you. I don't remember if it was with here or elsewhere. I've definitely discussed this maisa. But a few years ago, I was out to eat with some friends of mine. Once in a while, we get together, me and my old friends, and we go to a nice restaurant in the area. And I was at a restaurant, and there's someone there who I knew. And the person at the time worked for the Trump administration, and he was sitting with a few individuals there, a few non-Jews. And he comes over to me, this friend of mine comes right over to me, and says, you know, you see the guy who I'm sitting next to me at the table? So this guy was a very large individual, a very tall and strong and built. He had tattoos all over his arm. And he says to me, that the individual there is the chief of staff to the Prince of Morocco. Chief of staff to the Prince of Morocco. Okay. So he's having a meal. And then, you know, during the meal, this individual, the chief of staff, stands up. And he walks right over to me. I'm sitting down with my friends. He puts out his hand. So I put my hand out. That was, you know, before Corona existed, shaking hands was a possibility. So I shook his hand. And he had this massive squeeze on my hand. They're really strong. Like, the guy was muscular. He looked like a tight end. And he looks me in the eyes. And he says to me, will you give me a blessing? Will you give me a blessing? So there's so many things going through in my mind at the time. Firstly, he was like staring at me. He was squeezing my hand. It was quite intimidating. And the question is, can you give a blessing to a guy? So why would you not be able to give a bracha to a guy? What would be wrong with giving a bracha to a guy? So there is a Gemara of Avodah Zarah that tells us this, an issur called Losachani. Losachani means you can't do something for free. And the Gemara there says there are three different issurim we learn from the issur Losachani. Number one is, you cannot sell property in Eretz Yisrael to a goy. Number two, you can't give chayin, you can't praise, you can't say how pretty, how beautiful, how strong, how smart a goy is. And the third thing is you can't give what's called a matnas chinim. You can't give a free present. So for example, let's say you're at a pizza store and you have some leftover fries. So, you could give it to another Jewish family that's there. But let's say there's a non-Jewish family and you don't know them at all. You're not allowed to give them the fries. It's a free gift. It's matnas chinim. So we learned three different yisurim that from Losachanim, not to give away land in Eretz Yisrael to them, not to give them any praise, and not to give a free gift. That's what we learned from them. So now what's the relevance to this? So there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Birkas HaMazon, which says, quotes from my Taz, that when it comes to benching, we normally say we want to give everyone a bracha that's there. We say, Kolanu Yachad, everyone who's here is included in the bracha. Everyone should be blessed here. But let's say you have a non-Jew who's at your table. Now, it could very happen a person has an aide at their table, a helper for themselves, for someone else in the family. So a non-Jewish aide is sitting at the table, and you say, Kolanu Yachad, all of us are getting a bracha. So Taz says, well, we're not giving a bracha to a non-Jew. So he says you should tweak the nusach and say, Kulanu b'nei bris yachad. All the b'nei bris, all the yidden that are here should be included in the bracha. Why are we excluding the goy from the bracha? Why can we give them a bracha? So Magen Avraham says, because lo sechanim. We can't give them a free gift. You can't give them a free present. Give them a bracha, even birchas hadyot. Even from a regular person like me and you, that's a bracha, it's a birchas hadyot. It still has some effect. So to give them a free bracha would be inappropriate. So you have to change the language of kulam b'nei bris yachad. Only b'nei bris are subject to the bracha. That's the din. So now, are there any heterim? Are there any heterim to give a bracha to a non-Jew? So you find in the Rishonim three different heterim that are brought down by the poskim. Tosfos writes that one such heter is, there's a gemara that tells us that one time that you're allowed to send, you could send a guy, you could send them non-kosher meat. Let's say you made a mistake on the shechting of the meat, it's an avela, you could send it to a guy, you're allowed to send these things to a guy. So Tosa asks, how could you give a gift to a guy? Isn't that called matnas chinam? So Tosa says, one heter is when you're makir, when you recognize, when you know the non-Jew, that's not called free anymore. So for example, at the end of the year, you want to tip your bus driver for the kids, or you want to tip the mailman, or tip the UPS driver. So that's a free gift. I'm not obligated. I already pay, the stamp covers the mail. The shipment covers the delivery. Why do I need to pay him? Isn't that a free gift? Or I'm going to a restaurant, and I want to tip my waiter. Isn't that a free gift? So typically, tips are 15-18%. I'm going to give it 25%. I'm feeling very, very generous. Wonderful. They did a great job giving me service. So isn't that a free gift? And the answer is no. When you're makir the person, when you recognize a person, when there's a relationship, whether that's a relationship, a business relationship, or a stama friendship, you're makir them, you're paying for something. Meaning, when it comes to the waiter did a service for you. So you're paying for their service. The mailman serves you all year round. You're paying for the service. There's a relationship. You're paying for that. That's a tip that's allowed. The only time a free gift is usher is if you don't know the people. There's no prior relationship. That's where it will be problematic. So one heter is if you're makir, if you recognize them. So according to this, let's say you have an aide who's at the table with you, a non-Jewish helper, so you would be able to include them in the bracha because you know them, you have a relationship with them, they're helping you out, they're helping your parent, your grandparent, these are things that are allowed. So that would be one explanation when it would be allowed. Tosa says there's a second heter when you're allowed to give a bracha, and that's if it's a situation of Dar Chai Shalom. The din is, normally, we don't give tzedakim to goyim. You don't give tzedakah to goyim. You give tzedakah to yidden, not to goyim. But let's say it's Purim Day. And, everyone, there's a long line of people waiting for tzedakah from you, and you're giving a dollar bill to every person who comes. Then suddenly you see a goy walk up, and you say, no, we don't give you. That's going to be terrible, terrible eva, and problems of Dar Chai Shalom. And the Gemara says, because of Dar Chai Shalom, you're allowed to give a dollar bill to that ani goy as well. So if there's any Dar Chai Shalom purposes, any reasons, you'd be allowed to as well. So in my story, in the mice in the restaurant, so I'd be able to give the bracha because Dar Chai Shalom. It's a person who represents Morocco, And it was a situation whereby they're trying to forge relationships with a Yidden, and they take care of us. You know, so I said to him when I was looking at the individual, I said, I kind of paused. I was trying to go through the sugya. I was very nervous. And he says to me, you know, what's the big deal? We're not so different from each other. You know, he says to me, my mother was a Kohen. I said, wow, your mother's a Kohen. So I'm thinking you're probably Jewish then. If your mother was a Kohen, I certainly could give you a bracha. So, but even if he wasn't Jewish, the halacha is if it's darche shalom purposes, someone of a high level, you know, political stature, so that would certainly be allowed because of darche shalom. And if it were to be a case of makir, where you recognize a person, you'd also be able to give a bracha in this situation. There is one third example, third heter, where you're allowed to give a bracha to a non-Jew as well. And that's a Ramban found in Maseches Gittin. The Ramban is talking about a gemara that appears both in Maseches Brachos and Maseches Gittin, whereby there is a Rebbe Elazar was trying to get a minyan of people to daven together. And he only had 9 people. So what did he do? He went ahead and he freed his Eved Kanani. He had an Eved Kanani. And when you free an Eved Kanani, they immediately become a ger. And now he's a Jew. So now you've had your 10th guy, you have a minyan. So Gemara said, how could you do that? How do you free your Eved Kanani? There's an Issa Deraisa of the Olam Behem Tavodu. You have to always enslave the guy. You have to always enslave the Eved Kanani. So what they had to go ahead and free him? So Gemara says, mitzvah shiny, you're allowed to free the guy, the Eved Kanani, for the purposes of a mitzvah, to make a minyan. That's what the Gemara says. So Ramban explains what's the svar here. He wants to know, what's the reason why we say, li'olam behem tavodu, that you have to always enslave the Eved Kanani? Because you can't give free gifts. It's a violation of lo sechanim. To let them go free, that's lo sechanim. And Eved Kanani is a guy. You can't let them go free, that's a lo sechanim. But he says it's the purpose of the mitzvah, then you're allowed to. Lo sechanim is allowed if you're going to gain something out of it. If I'm going to get a minyan out of it, then it's allowed. So this is a third heter of when lo sechanim is allowed. Either because you're makir, you have a relationship with them, or because of darche shalom purposes, or because of mitzvah purposes. These are the three heterim when one would be allowed to, in fact, give a bracha to them. So to give, you know, to daven for non-Jew, to give a bracha to non-Jew for them to become healthy, you would apply all these different heterim. Because of darche shalom, because of your makir, then you have a relationship. Either way, this is the discussion. So I'll finish with one last piece, one idea on the parsha. It says, rapo yirape. It says, rapo yirape, when it comes to the source, this week's parsha, the source of giving refuah, the source of medicine, that doctors allowed to provide health. Rapo yirape. Now, the Baal Turim asks a question, how come it says, rapo yirape with a dagish, the pay with a dagish? When it came to parsha Beshalach, it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the rofe, with it, no dagesh, it's a soft, it's a fey. So why, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the rofe, it's a soft fey? But when it talks about doctors being rapo yirape, it's a hard one, pay, it's a dagesh, it's much stronger. So what he explains is as follows. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives provides health, it's very different than when a doctor provides health. When a doctor provides health, there's sometimes a vaccination, there's pain, there's side effects, there are other things that come along with the type of medicine that a doctor provides, and of course he has to do what he needs to do. And the patient needs to take the medicine that the patient needs to take. But of course, there are many side effects that affect many types of medication. So rapo yirape, it's tough. It's tough love. It's strong. It's uncomfortable. With the end result of hopefully being positive. But when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the doctor, he's a rofe. He serves as a rofe. It comes soft. It comes soft. It comes love. It doesn't come with pain. It comes with complete love. So we should be zocha through the learning of all these sugyas of medical halacha. We should be zocha that everyone should be healthy. We shouldn't need the medicines. We should just rely on Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofei Chinam. We should be zocha that we all have a refuah shleima. We have an end to this virus. We can see each other in person again, and we can shake hands and give each other hugs and dance together with the coming of Mashiach. B'gula shleima bat mitas. B'her v'yameinu. Amen v'yameinu.